Maybe that's not your style of music. It may seem a little ruckus. I don't know. Maybe you're down in the basement with this kid and you're going, who is this kid? I don't know him. I'd love for him to be on this stage because this message and this whole series was summed up in that one song, which goes way back. How many know Switchfoot? Anyone heard of Switchfoot? Yeah, at least 90% in the room here. That's not Switchfoot. I don't know whose foot that is. That's just a young man. I went for the song because I love the song. And I heard plenty of rock versions of this song. And then I came across this young man in his basement with his guitar, with his energy, the clarity of the message. And I said, bingo. So much more. And he's like, have a great week. Right? Can you imagine starting your week realizing that there's so much? We were meant to live for so much more. The song over and over. And then they had another one that came out too. Some of you guys Switchfoot fans, Dare You to Move. I'm not going to play that one. It should be played seriously loud, and we're not going to do that in here. But Meant to Live. That's not the title of the message. I very well could have done that. We finished today with Fully Alive. And as Reed was talking about earlier, something way bigger than ourselves. And for it to last, and for us to sit here and go, for so much more, but we lost ourselves. To find ourselves means now we have the opportunity to build on a foundation of legacy. I'm into legacy. I'm into it for every reason in the world, especially here in this town. This is a small town. And we got a new legacy. We got something really good that got off to a really good start. Vons is in the house, my friends. Woo! Brian, great job to your whole team. I just want to say, when you don't have anything to do in this town, we're going to Vons. I don't know, what do you want to do? Let's go to Vons. There's people there. There's the produce with the thunder and the lightning thing going on. Let's go to the bakery, which is right next door. And you know what? The same faces are there. There's more faces there. I can see people. It's well lit. It's a hangout place. Kids are there. Teens are there. I'm having a blast. I've been to Vons every day that it's been open. Anybody else? It's something to do. What's playing in the casino? I'm not going to Vons. Legacy. My daughter was at the grand opening. As I was over town with business stuff, and she said, Dad, I got to go, and I looked around, and there's a band playing. How often does this happen, Dad? I'm like, you're 17. How would you know, you know? She does know, because she's thinking, we've waited so long, and they didn't just do it. They did it right. Well done to all of you that may work there, or you're in the house here. We're hoping with future training that this thing just goes off the chart for more people here. And Brian, you've earned your rest. Enjoy your big game today and your feet up. The town's proud of what's here. We love our store. We love the community that's formed there. It's in a way, it's like another beacon. You know, it's a beautiful place down there to gather. And there's life that comes from it. All the stories that are there. And I think it's fully alive, let's just say. What would you do if you had a short time to live? How would you live differently? Over and over again, we've answered this question, and it's finishing this week. Who would you spend time with? How would you think differently? And before I go any further in this message, there are influential people in our community. There are people who have made a serious difference to our economy in our community. There's people who have loved behind the scenes, worked very hard and diligently for many, many years. And one of which is heading out of town, moving off the island. And Eric, want to say we love you and thank you for your dedication, your commitment to this community. For those of you guys who don't know, he's in the back over here. You want to hug him? When's the moving day? Friday morning. Okay, we have till Friday morning to still have coffee with you. And thank you for the investment and being fully alive in what you've done in our town, your community. We're going to miss you. We're going to miss you. This week, let me ask you a question. The news came. You got to move. Or maybe even out of this world. What's your legacy? Are you going to be missed? Who's attending your funeral? I'm curious. It's really a question that's capturing our attention here. And at ACC, the last couple of weeks, I've been nailing it the best I can. Years ago, there actually was something that captured national attention. It wasn't necessarily this message, what we're doing here, but there's a gentleman by the name of Randy Posh. Heard the name before? Anybody remember that name a few years ago? Yeah, Randy Posh. Okay. And I got this off of YouTube, Facebook, and Wikipedia. He was a lecturing professor on his game at Carnegie, a wonderful university, Carnegie Mellon, very busy guy, had his life going, diagnosed with cancer, and he decided to invest in his students and do what was called the one last lecture. It was videotaped, put on YouTube, over 1 million hits in 3 weeks, and it went national. And then, of course, Parade Magazine grabbed it, and other magazines put him on the cover, and the queen of TV, Oprah, put him on and had him jumping on the couch just like Tom Cruise. Everything that could happen to this guy in his few months to live happened, and yet he was just a normal guy. And he put up his message, and it's amazing to me the media attention that hit this. As I did this on Wikipedia, I looked to see what happened in his few months. I mean, congressmen called him. He had dinners and lectures and speeches. He'd show up randomly and speak. It gripped Americans. It gripped them. What gripped them? I don't think what's gripped them was the message at all. I listened to it. I listened to the last lecture. In fact, I read the bulletin that came with it. And it's good, but it isn't anything that you or I have never heard before. I think what gripped people is the fascination that they're looking at somebody and they're thinking, he's going to be dead soon, and he knows it. It's really kind of this fascinating thing in this morbid sense of the term. You know, it's like, what will be his, what does he want me to know since his term is short, okay? Ironically, I will not get that same national attention, okay? But I too am dying, okay? I wait until the third week to tell you because I just got the test results, so I know how much time I have left on this life expectancy website that I went to. It asked me about my family history. It asked me whether I use butter or margarine. Do I drink? Do I smoke? Do I have good exercise? In-N-Out versus Chick-fil-A. It was all on there. And do I like cats or dogs? And I had to enter my weight, which I did, my high school weight. It was interesting. Sure enough, I'm dying. Based on this very scientific data, I was told the bad news. And the date is August 2058. Honestly, I'm a little reserved and yet relieved. It's in August. I look better in a tan anyway. But you can go to these websites. You can check these things out on your own. And it will give you something so you can plan on it. And I'm sure I'll be wearing my bib and doing wheelies in my power chair as I get closer. But 93. And then I got, after the bad news, I got an email sent to me regarding my family and the date. And that was great. And it followed with an email from a very excited Sultan of Nan Boo Boo. And he's leaving me millions and millions of dollars. And he wants my bank account and routing number. Good. And he's going to get it in there right away. I'm fired up about that. I leave the world knowing my family's taken care of. I'm very rich. I'm dying, my friends. And you're dying, too. I don't know if the Sultan has contacted you. You may not have the millions of dollars. But there's two things you can count on, right? Okay? New England losing today. And urgent breaking news from our media. Right? It's always urgent. It's always breaking. No. What are the two things you can count on? Say them with me. Death and... Thank you. All right, we got that. Unfortunately, we are looking at both of them in the next coming weeks, aren't we? Okay. Randy Posh made the news because he's used his dying opportunity, and it shaped his legacy. His kids and everyone else, they're well known. You and I, what this whole series has been about is we can use our living opportunity to shape the rest of our life, okay? And we can use that time that we've got left to shape our legacy. And then you and I will have a legacy. And the question is, what type will you leave? What does it look like? Will it be a positive legacy, a good legacy? Let's just go there, a God-honoring legacy. And 2 days ago when I was putting some of my final thoughts in this and I backed out and I scratched things and I erased things and I add things, I had to go back to our verse. In fact, before a ton of great scriptures, there are so many that on your notes, there's something on the bottom that says additional scriptures. Look at those, use those. I couldn't fit them all in today. But the one that we've been sitting on, the one that we've been planning on in Psalms is right there, 90 verse 12. Teach us to make the most of our time so that we may grow in wisdom. And we've learned that when we grow in wisdom, week one, okay, you can live like you're dying. That was week one. Week two, you can love like you're forgiven. That was great last week. Notice how I didn't quiz you this week. Last week when I asked if anyone remembered anything, no one raised their hand. I'm not doing that this week. And I'm just giving you the answers, okay? I'm going to keep it really simple here. Forget quizzing you anymore. But regardless of where you are in your journey, and you may be checking out God this morning, you saw something, somebody said something of interest, maybe you understand where situations have climaxed recently for you and you have bigger questions. All of that has got you investigating church, investigating God, and you're curious, you're wondering, or maybe on the other extreme, the complete other extreme, you're a committed follower of Christ. My guess is that you want your life to count, either one. You want to matter. You want it to have a positive legacy, okay? If I'm true about that statement, put your hand in the air this morning. Let me see, okay? Okay, almost everybody. The rest are comatose. That's what I thought. It's good news. It's raining outside. Isn't it great? Have you been splashing around in the rain? This feels more like Florida to me lately than Catalina weather. It's absolutely beautiful, and I love it. It's restful, isn't it? Another month, the flowers will be singing the songs out there that God is at work. His colors and majesty are out there. His legacy is for sure. His handiwork is for sure. And when something comes across your soul, when something of work, the work of God comes across your soul, there's something beautiful. Your soul is singing the handiwork of the Creator. It's blooming for Him and it's beautiful. And it's true, since you and I want to leave a positive legacy, God's word is where we go. God's word is where we end. This is where it's all said and done. And we see what God values. And I want us to try to grasp a couple biblical principles to build our legacy on this morning. Literally, I put them in the form of fill-ins in your notes. And you can just work through these real quick. And we're going to wrap this up, okay? Here it is on your outline. There are actions of the wise and actions of the fool. Look at your notes, please. Okay. The Bible says, and it's wise to obey. Write it in. Matthew 7. Jesus is speaking. He says that anyone who listens to my teaching and obeys me is wise, like a person who builds his house on the solid rock. Circle solid rock. Okay. And appropriately enough, the rain comes in torrents and floodwaters rise. And the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse. Okay? Why? Because it's built on rock. Remember, I told you before there are famous buts of the Bible. Okay? This is one of those famous buts right here. Anyone who hears my teaching and ignores it, it is foolish like a person who builds a house on the sand. But when the rain and the floods come, the winds beat against the house, it's going to fall in a mighty crash. The solid rock is Jesus. Amen? The visual image of something that we know consistently will last. You could ask me who won the Super Bowl 15 years ago. I'm not going to tell you. Okay? I 6 years ago, I could probably tell you. But it's still not going to last. Even football hasn't been around forever. Christ is the solid foundation. And my teaching, and what Jesus says here, when he comes into this, He says, you obey these things. That's the kicker right there. Obey my teaching and you're building your life on something solid. Don't just hear it. Everybody does that. What comes to my mind, though, is something unmovable. El Capitan. Been there? Anybody? Right? A guy scaled it freestyle recently in the last year or so and made it to the top. El Capitan Yosemite. Big, majestic, unmovable, absolutely stunning. Picture of obedience and wisdom. Then he gives the flip side. There's a picture of a fool, and that the person who builds his house on mudslides. You might be thinking, what a great view of the ocean as you slide into the ocean, okay? He's saying obedience. If you choose obedience, you're wise. Grab that one. Let's move on to the next one, okay? Obedience to God's ways. And this one's interesting. It produces fruitfulness. Fruitfulness, another principle I want you to grab onto. John 15, Jesus says, remain in me and I'll remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful apart from me, okay? And Jesus makes it very clear that if you're going to obey, you've got to be connected to me. Otherwise, you're not obeying me. Make sense? And if you're connected to me, that obedience is going to bear fruit. Now, I'm not preaching to the choir, I hope. I need this as much as anyone needs this. Everyone wants fruit. And you might be thinking, fruit? Guys in here, that's a sissy word. You know, what's up with fruit, okay? Is, you know, my return on my investment of being obedient, fruit? You know, I'm a, you know, steak and bread guy or whatever. You know, I'm a Hawaiian sweet roll guy, okay? Yeah, so I'm thinking, fruit, you know, why fruit? I understand it a little differently here, but fruit in the Bible is a biblical metaphor for the richness of life. I had a lot of fun with this week. And I'm drinking as many smoothies as I can get my hands on down there at Vons. Man, things have been on sale. It's great. I love them. And I can taste the different fruits. I can understand something that's being produced off this island. And it's even better when I have the actual fruit in my hands. How do you like that photo up there, right? That's unheard of. It's something awesome. It's rich. Everything you can dream your life to be. Fruit. It's a good thing. Obedience to God's way. Producing fruitfulness. Matthew 7, Jesus says, yes, the way to identify a tree or a person is the kind of fruit that is produced. Circle produced in your notes. Fruit is the result of obedience. You can tell the good tree because it's producing fruit. You can also tell a good person because they're producing good fruit. You want to know what good fruit is, check out Galatians 5, okay? And you can study these on your own. But the fruit of God's Spirit will be revealed in this way. Listen to this list. Tell me you don't want this list, okay? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Bingo. That's the fruit of God's Spirit. Obedience will produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That's fruitfulness. Anybody want a second helping of that? Yeah. That's the idea of a fruit tree. And I love the spiritual parallel to this. Because a fruit tree, if a fruit tree is healthy, it's going to continue to produce good fruit if it's healthy. Okay? When I was in college, as odd as it sounds, we learned in study about a fig tree that's still in Jerusalem that back in the time of Jesus was alive producing figs. It's still producing figs to this day. I mean, centuries later, it's still got it going on. And for those meat and potato type people, where it breaks down is once you get a steak, okay, well, first thing is you kill the cow, right? And then you have your steak. And that's it, my friends. You got your steak, but you're not getting another one after that. Your cow is dead. Get it? So the Bible's smarter than me and you. It's way smarter. And God's word goes there. I'd love a steak. Bring it. Okay? But it doesn't need to, it's not going to reproduce. fruit, and the analogy here works. God's word says this works. It's time tested. A fruit tree is a great image of legacy. Third, look at your outline. Obedience. Fruitfulness will leave a legacy. Write it in. It's a winning combination. That's it. If you choose obedience God's way, remain in Him, connected to Jesus. If you choose obedience, key word is choose, okay? You'll produce fruitfulness, and that fruitfulness will leave a legacy. That fruitfulness will last. One of my seniors this week, as my soccer season came to a close fairly abruptly, girls were going around in the closing arguments of the huddle and apologizing for the way that the last game went and their efforts and lack of. And then this one senior spoke out. And I totally didn't expect this coming from her. So she really blew my mind as a coach, and it was amazing. She said, instead of apologizing like everybody else, I want to start off by saying, thank you. I'm a forward. I'm a striker. I'm in the front to try to score. Thank you to everyone on defense and everyone in midfield that fought so hard to get that ball to me. I appreciate your efforts back there. And I apologize for not finishing up front and getting the job done. And I just sat there going, take me home now. You know, just the humility and the patience and the things that were shown from somebody whose personality didn't always match that. She realized this was bigger than me. She left a legacy from that comment, at least with me. My top five most memorable things of coaching here on the island. A four-year player, 7 years with me, that said some things off the chart, humble to the rest of the team. Good legacy. Watch what Jesus said in John 15, okay? I appointed you to go and produce fruit that will last. Underline fruit that will last. Look at Scripture carefully here and what it's trying to say. What are we talking about? Obedience is the action. Fruitfulness is the result. Now, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That's the result now. Legacy is what will last. The Apostle Paul, who wrote it over half the books in the New Testament, uses these same terms, really, to summarize his entire life. Look at it. He uses the terms of death and fruitful living. Great verse, Philippians 1, Paul says, for me to live is for Christ, and dying is even better. Yet if I live, that means fruitful service for Christ. Why would he say dying is even better? Somebody help me with this, okay? Please speak out. Don't hold back. Why would he say dying is even better? Thank you. Because he's going to be in heaven. Would dying not be better there? To be there, right? It's very simple. You'd be in the presence of God. And he had this confident assurance that eternal life for him was not going to be eternal life separated from God. I want God. He made the decision. That's hell without him, okay? But he was going to have eternal life with God in his presence. So, of course, he's saying nothing compares to the presence of God. And when I sat back this week, I actually went for a very short hike just around my neighborhood in the back. I wanted to settle into what it would be like to be in the presence of God. So to live is Christ, but to die would be even better. To die would be gain. But it's okay. I have to live. It will include fruitful service, he says. I'm not sitting on my butt doing nothing. Not just living, not just existing, not just taking up space. I'm headed to Mexico to build a house or two. I'm going to do something outside of my walls and my comfort zone for my neighbor. If I got to live, I'm going to live a fruitful life. Amen? I'm going to do something for others. Here's the summary, a little summary. Your outline. Obedience results in fruitfulness, which results in legacy. Write it in. Let's do what we did the last couple of weeks. Let's go after the same three things as the last couple of weeks. Big picture, okay? Big picture concept, things for us to think about. Practical thing that you and I can apply right away. And I love this photo. A lot of choices, okay? Let's look at God's power and wrap this whole thing up. The big picture is this. Believe that I'm capable of leaving a legacy. I'm capable of leaving a legacy. I want you to walk out of here today with the confidence that you are leaving a legacy. Eric, are you listening to me? Okay? You leave here, you leave this island, you leave here for a period of time. Folks, some of you couldn't leave because the boats haven't been running. But when you get your opportunity, you've left something behind that matters. People's lives were different as a result of your input and what you had to say and what you did. Coaches, regardless of whether or not you won a game or won a league championship or the entire title, your legacy and the lives and the character development and the initiative and the personalities and the maturity and the investment in teenagers' lives, or AYSO, volunteer parents, you're just as needed. Our tech team back there, the worship team, Natalie here in the front office, from downstairs to upstairs, legacy being left that matters, character being developed that is time-tested, and lives changed as a result of people being different from your legacy. Let's be honest. You and I have been around life long enough to know, okay, that just having a name doesn't work. It's not enough. My name may never be in print, okay, for sure. Your name may never be on the marquee. But you live a fruitful life, and it will be shouted from the mountaintops in heaven. It'll make a difference today, and name recognition is here today, just being honest with you. And it's gone tomorrow. If you go home and type Google, his name will live forever. And 100 names are going to come up of people you never heard of before. That's the irony of the whole thing. For instance, I have a couple here in my notes. Mark Roberts. Anyone here heard of Mark Roberts? He's in the top 100. Famous for the running of the bulls in Spain. Naked. Yeah, survived. Interesting. Great. How about this one? Yeah, can you imagine the photo album there? Grandma, what's Grandpa doing in this photo here? How about this name? Larry LaPrise. Anybody? Invented the Hokey Pokey. Right? Died in 1996. And they did have trouble getting him in the casket. They put his right arm in. And his, that is the worst joke I've ever told. Yeah, he was in the news. I'll be here all week. Every single person here looks at some of these names, you're like, who? What? Right? Believe I'm capable of leaving a legacy. Let's go after some questions, some things I want you to be thinking about. I'm looking at my notes. I'm hoping you're looking at yours. What type of legacy will I leave? Okay? What type? Name? Oh, that guy. Let's be honest. People here are trying to make a name for them. They want to leave a name legacy. They're all over this island. They're all over this town. Several businesses around here. They want their name in there. They want it engraved on the wall. Or they want it put on a certain title of something here. Okay? Trying to do things to be remembered for the good that they've done. These are people that have passed away before us. Done great things and remembering their name, it's easy. Parks are named after them and other things. It's easy. Ernest Hemingway, known for what? His writing, okay? Let's do a little bit more Southern California here. Carl Karcher, what's he known for? Carl Jr., yeah, there you go. How about this one? Mother Teresa, right? No-brainer. Compassion. Love and care for the down and out. Paris Hilton, okay? Anyone? Is she dead yet? Okay. Okay, so names, legacy, does it matter? Where it's going? Not every name's going to leave a positive legacy. How about Judas? How about Hitler? No pictures. When it comes to name recognition, I actually admire people who start with pure motives. Personally, with all the choices I have, and I'm at this mid-time of my life, pure motives, what tracks my attention. They're the ones that have the legacy-type name because they served with pure motives. They did something great with their life. There's people in this church, if I mention their name right now, they would not want me to do that. They work very, very hard behind the scenes, and they want it that way. They have a great legacy. Mother Teresa. She didn't set out to be famous as a young person, a beautiful young person. I'm sure it wasn't on her to do sit back and you know, I'm going to win this Nobel Peace Prize. But in Calcutta, India, she cared for those who were down and out, became famous for that. I respect that. She could care less whether or not she got the recognition. She just did it. There are guys in my life that have stacked hands intentionally. I call them wild men. Most of them are not west of the Mississippi. They're back where I came from. They stacked hands in a search and rescue for the heart of Andrew Hobbs. And as a result, I hold them in high esteem. And those guys go to bed at night not thinking, I woulda, I coulda, I shoulda. They saw a guy whose marriage and ministry and just masculinity needed a kick in the seat of the pants. And they came after me. And I love it. They've got great legacy with me. But they didn't start off to have the legacy. They started off in a rescue. We got something to do here. For those of you going on mission right here, is it really about the house? Honestly. The house is the tool. It's physical. But you're there for the people that are living in that house. The ones that are so needy in the community. That relationship that's there. I know that. But most of us here, let's be honest, 99% of us, we're never going to be Mother Teresa. We're just ordinary people trying to live life the best we can to honor God with how we live and have a positive legacy. And my encouragement to you is this. Don't go after name legacy. Don't. Go after the legacy of service. That's what I want you to go after, the legacy of service. Paul is right on it. Do something that's bigger than yourself. Investing in lives that really matter. Please don't go to your grave with a thrill of tasting service, of doing something that's so inspiring to yourself specifically that you can't, you know, you can't get outside yourself. How about I can't wait to serve? It's outside of you. I've talked to some people who are older in life thinking, I'm too old to get started. What if I played that song in the garage? We were meant to live. It wouldn't sound the same to everybody. Wrong. You're meant to live at any age. If you thought I was celebrating young adults earlier, you're wrong. God's not finished with you yet. Retired? How about reassigned? God's got something for you no matter who you are, your ethnicity, or your age. He is not finished. He's not finished till he's finished. And God's got work for all of us. Your legacy of serving others begins with a choice today. Don't wait. Don't worry about a name legacy. Go after a service legacy. It impacts something way bigger than ourselves. Look at your outline. Another question I want you to think about. Are the things I'm spending my time on legacy worthy? See, I love driving Jeeps. I love Jeep Eco Tours. One of the big reasons is I got the keys to the entire island. Kind of cool. See things that people here don't normally see every day or rarely ever see. People that have lived here for years. And I get to see them. And I loved working with people. Don't get me wrong. My cruise ship friends were very nice friends. But I chose differently. And it wasn't long ago when I said I want an investment in the people of Avalon. And I've got a lot of time here that's out in the hills with people I may not see again. It's okay. But I've come here on mission for Avalon. I'm not tooting my horn, and I'm definitely not looking for a name legacy. I'm trying to tell you my thinking changed when I realized I needed something tent-making that fit the people of Avalon. Coaching was my option. I love sport. I play professionally, and I enjoy working with people in that environment. I've done camps, and coaching came natural. With the teenagers came families, and with the families came stuff. What about you? Is what you're doing legacy worthy? Does it make sense? Where's your time being spent? That's not a hypothetical question, okay? If you remember back to week one, they had that verse in the book of James that says, your life is like a mist. It's here today and vanishes. Okay? We need to be thinking about this. People like Randy Posh, his mist vanished earlier than expected. Anytime you read the newspaper, you see somebody's life cut short. Right? Folks, we need to be reminded of the brevity of life. Often, I am, as I live, you know, up the hill, and I've seen many funerals come up to the cemetery up there on the other side of our neighborhood. And I see the signs that in the newspaper and online that point to a memorial service, or they're going to have a paddle out in regards to another person who's passed. I'm reminded of this. I had a friend last week, and they're here, and they said, this series is kind of creeping me out a little bit, and I found a watch. I'm going to buy you this watch. He sent me this image. It's a regular-looking watch until you read carefully, remember, you will die. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. It's great, okay? It's a message that keeps on ticking even after I've stopped ticking, and I don't want that watch. No one gets that watch. So, but thank you for that offer. Are the things I'm spending my time on legacy worthy? What am I doing? What am I doing? Last question. And this is the big one. And it finishes our series. When will I get serious about my own legacy? When's the time? Yeah. Why wait till the diagnosis, right? Why wait till the financial crisis, right? Why wait till something traumatic happens and then you realize all the time you had lost? What's wrong with now? Very important to me. I've had conversations with people, not just after church, but throughout the week in the community all the time. A typical conversation might go something like this. Somebody's in a restaurant, they go, oh, Pastor Andrew, hey, great message on Sunday. I'm like, cool. Really? So that's nice. Tell me, what's changed in your life as a result of hearing the message, you know? And they're like, they go from here to like this, real quick. You know, you just watch their demeanor. You know, it's just lip service. It sounded inspiring. Where's the results? Give me some of that, man. Let's hear some fruit. I don't have any. I just like the message. It sounded good. You know, like, man. I'm like, okay, well, I want to see something change, not just your countenance. I want to see something different change. You do too. I do too. God's word is here. It's inspiring. It's infallible. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. I think that's going to change your life a little bit. If we get serious about it, it's going to change life. Friends, it's just way too easy to come to church and say, hey, way to go, Ron. Way to go, Andrew, Julio. Nice message. I agree with everything you said. Then leave and do nothing about it. I really want you to get that because I think it's very dangerous. It's a dangerous pattern to get into to be a follower of Jesus. And just give this mental assent, but do nothing about it. I mean, literally in small groups, what do you guys talk about? When there's prayer on a Tuesday night, is it always the issues of church? Or is there an opportunity to say the issues in my life? What are you pouring back into with your small groups? And when you're one-on-one and knee-to-knee at the coffee company or the brew house, where are the conversations stirring and going? Where? Who cares if these messages get recorded or not? Where's the change of life happening? Don't build your spiritual life on sand. Don't let it go to that. Big picture. Believe I'm capable of leaving a legacy. Think through these questions. Let's go to the me part, okay? What do we need to do? Based on what we just said. Turn someday into today. You and I have demonstrated over the course of our lives that we're great procrastinators. We are really, really good at procrastinating, okay? Three picks in here. Anybody want to agree with me on that? We are great procrastinators. Raise your hand. And it took you a while. Some of you are procrastinating. You're like, okay, whatever. No. Should be more of you. We've been slow to do that. Okay? We're great. Saturday used to be our favorite day of the week. But it's not Saturday anymore. It's someday. Someday is a hazardous word. If you want to leave a positive legacy, that one's going to cost you. You're going to fall short. Someday I'm going to be the parent I always wanted to be. Someday I'm going to slow down and begin enjoying relationships. Someday I'm going to take God serious. Someday I'm going to get that small group and head over there to the men's and women's thing. Someday I'm going to go to a Bible study. Someday I'm going to serve. Someday I'm going to work with children or youth. Someday, someday, someday. I want to challenge you to quit aiming. Pull the trigger. If you ever lost somebody suddenly, you know if you've experienced that, exactly what I'm saying. Most of us in here have. And for some people, someday never arrives. This message was born out of the adversity that I felt emotionally. Don't wait. I'd hate for you to be in the presence of God saying, I wanted to, but my dog ate my legacy. It makes no sense. A 47-year-old man just recently went home to be with the Lord. He was a good friend. He was my mate in the boat. We paddled together. We served together. We were not always in agreement with each other, but he was a good friend. His son is trying to figure things out now. And I miss him. I miss opportunity. That's what I miss. Start today. Turn someday into today. Okay, Hobbs, how do I do that? How do I do this? And I'm going to give you three things. Three things just to think about here. Each one of these could be an entire sermon, but just get your thing about. First is this. Encourage you to cast your legacy vision. Start somewhere. What's my vision? That's what I've been challenging you to do for the last 3 weeks. And just grab the notes from weeks 1 and 2. Sit down, literally. Not someday, but today. Put a date on your calendar. Save an hour or so and really begin to think about it. If you're in a small group, guys, ladies, okay, be talking about that. Hold one another accountable. Not just in accountability, but look for the glory in somebody. What are they good at? What is it that's life-changing about them? And pull that out and shove that up to the surface in a conversation. Not just accountability. Look for something that says, man, you are so good at this. How is that working for you? You need more of that going on in your life. That's my kind of accountability. It changes lives. Not just a mental ascent. Like, Hobbs, that is a nice series, Hobbs. But here's what I'm changing about my life. I've done funerals of plenty of men and women who just celebrating their golf game. People got up to speak about them and talked about their investments, joke telling about their car collection. And I walk away from many of those, honestly, it's a very sad feeling. And a substantial vision of their legacy was missed. And that opportunity was what it was. And I want you to be encouraged. Start with your vision right now. Cast a legacy vision. Don't wait. Second thing is, I want to encourage you to create a financial legacy. If you're a visitor here in the Avalon Community Church, please don't get nervous. I'm not asking you to give your money to the church, okay? I'm not interested in your money. It's God's church. God can do whatever he wants. If he wants to pave Metropole Gold out here, God can do that if he wanted to. It's not about your money given to the church. It's about your faith. It's about your obedience. God turns around and he blesses a solid foundation. The word of God is being taught here. When it's understood and it's obeyed, it's about your heart. It's not about your money. That's why he uses money. To get to our hearts. Because that is often the biggest stumbling block, isn't it? Isn't it? It is. It's about you being obedient to God's financial plan. It's in the scripture. There's 1,000 ways to obey God here at this church. They've made a lot of easy avenues. But there's a hang up there. What I want to challenge you to do is take your finances and hold them with a loose grip. A loose grip so they can be used. Because I need to let you know, you're not taking that into eternity. You realize that? It's not going with you. So you're either going to be eternally with God or eternally separated from God. That's a bigger deal. But either way, you're not taking the finances with you. Either way. You're not going to be buried in your Mercedes. So make investments today that are going to last for eternity. They're going to capture people's lives. Your legacy is your money helping others to serve. Yesterday, a few folks sat out in the cold and the rain for hours in front of Vons. The very first fundraiser at Vons. Raising money to go down to give it back to God. Catch that? Raising money to go down to Mexico to give it back to God. They're serving Him. This is for you. And the community had a chance to participate with that. And they have been all along out in the lobby. Lots of opportunity. Keep it simple. Don't get hung up. Don't wonder if it falls in the general fund, if it's going to be spread out all over the place and you'll never see where it goes. It belongs to God. It belongs to Him. And when it's let go loosely from your grip, your heart belongs to God. God, I trust you. Where you want it to go is up to you. But I'm going to be obedient and do my part. The third is I encourage you to commit to a legacy of faith. This goes together and is symbiont with our financial legacy. What I mean by legacy of faith is having a small part of transformation in somebody else's lives. That's what I meant about literally this thing at Vons. These guys were raising money, and I think it was $450, dudes. Am I right? Way to go on a rainy day. And they're going to use that to transform somebody else's life. Same thing with Haiti. Same thing with Descanso Street. Same thing with our folks in Triana or Bird Park or Sol Vista, wherever you want to go. There's a needy family. Rent is due and times are tough. I'm going to invest in this family. My faith is having a part in transforming the lives of someone else. Are you all tracking with me? It's showing my faith. It's playing it out. I can't imagine anything more radical than that. Than introducing a friend to your Heavenly Father. Financially helping to meet their need if you can. And that's a legacy that's going to last into eternity. You invited me to church. I heard the good news. Or we didn't get to go to church and you held church in your house and I heard the good news. I was invited to your Bible study and I read the Word of God and my life was changed. That's eternal legacy. My encouragement to you is this. Don't give up. Y'all hear me? Y'all hear me? If you're doing it, don't give up. You may not see the returns right now. The door may be slammed in your face 1,000 times over. You're kind and they still walk on the other side of the sidewalk in town. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep having conversations. Keep loving. Keep serving. Don't turn your back on folks. You do the possible. Allow God to do the impossible. Keep caring. You do all this. You cast your legacy vision. You create a financial legacy. You create a legacy of faith. But my friends, it's all empty. It's all empty if you do it on your own power. We mentioned this last week. You've got to depend on God's power. So let's go to it. God's power. Here's what I want you to do. Acknowledge God every day. Instead of hitting the ground running with your to-do list, hit the ground on our knees. As I look over here at this map, and I see so much opportunity around the world, it starts with training here in Avalon. Hit the ground on our knees. God, I need your wisdom. God, I need your power. God, I need your forgiveness before I can offer wisdom and power and forgiveness to my neighbor. I need it from you. Instead of hitting the ground running, you hit the ground. And you pray. I actually had a conversation in the past with people who acted like they were God. I got this. I actually had people. There's a guy I talked to, one here from California, but he actually thought he was God. That was interesting. Okay, I met a lot of people go through life without acknowledging God at all. At all, period. I've had relatives that way. Deuteronomy 4. Remember this and keep it firmly in mind. The Lord is God. Okay? Both in heaven and on earth, and there is no other God. Who are we acknowledging daily? How does your morning start out? Think about that. Who are you acknowledging daily? Who are you being obedient to? The God of self? The God of popular opinion? The God of Oprah? The God of Tom Brady? Maybe for you today, today's the day you let God be the God of your life. regardless of the outcomes, you're the God of my life. And today's the day I'm going to put the stake in the ground, baby. And there it goes. Boom. It's going to be a legacy, and it's intentional. You are God. I don't have a plan. It's your plan that I want. You acknowledge that God has to be a part of that in such a way that He leads you. You might be sitting there going, I don't feel like I'm capable. I actually don't feel like I'm worthy of that. You're right. You're not. And the enemy wants to remind us of that. Neither am I. That's why we got to acknowledge God every day. We're in His presence. As He comes in, He says, my Son has been available to you. You receive my Son and all that He offers. And I make available to you, and I make you worthy, and I make you able to receive all that the kingdom offers. You are a child of the King. Amen? The enemy has been set at bay. He is not going anywhere. Because God reminds you that you're my child, and all the benefits that come with it. Rely on His power. Rely on His willpower, not my own. I want to obey God. And as a result, your power ends up in a dead-end street. I need God's power to do that every day. Lamentations 3. Great is God's faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every day. I want this picture. There it is. Every day. You and I, if anything this series is reminding us of, is that our each days, so to speak, in quotes, are limited. They're limited. Why don't you have an each days sign maybe in your house to remind you, I need God. Without begging Him for His mercy today and begging Him for His wisdom to make the most of the time that He's given us. Thank you, God. So what are we saying in this series? What I've been saying in this is live like I'm dying, love like I'm forgiven, focus and leave a positive legacy. My prayer as I put this together is that you would use something, just something here that would ring a bell and cause us to become alive, or in this fully alive language, hear what God is saying for us to do differently. It grabs our attention. It forces us to stop ignoring what matters most. And it started with a vision completely. What it would look like to have hundreds of people here in this town literally live like they were dying. And instead of walking around in unforgiveness and bitterness, they forgave like they've been forgiven. And instead of just sitting around and aimlessly working for that paycheck, they looked at legacy and investing in people's lives. And that paycheck fits somewhere in the tapestry of your life. And it makes sense that an honest day's work for an honest day's wage. And you work hard, but you serve God. And those relationships matter. There is blessing. There is confidence that you are the man and you are the woman with confidence walking through this town. You are following God. You'd wake up and hit the floor, period, on your knees, not running. We're living like we're dying. We're loving like we're forgiven. It's intentional, positive legacy. If our worship team can come up. You guys are beautiful. Your song choices today are just epic. That's what I want for me. This is what I want for our vision for the church. This is what I want for our community. This morning is communion. Thank goodness. I love communion. We can have it all the time. We put it here first of the month. You can have communion every day. Did you know that? Yeah, the dates are not in Scripture. You can have them every day. And over here, as you can see, and right in the back, we have the elements there. We have the bread and the juice, symbolizing the body of Christ, the blood of Christ. And what He says is, come fellowship with me. Meet me at the table. Let's talk. I'm dying to hear you. What do you want me to know? And when you're ready, I've got a plan that's going to knock your socks off. I've got some ideas. Let's come to the table. Begin communion today in your heart. Don't wait. Don't wait. Let it be a super Sunday. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Father, thank you for the way that you meet our needs. It's great to be alive, to treat our lives differently than those around us. Thank you for that privilege and that opportunity. Your faithfulness is great. Thank you that we can have your new mercy, forgiveness, all day, each day. It starts new in the morning. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be the same because we were here today and your word got through. I lift up those who are here that don't know you. They're checking you out. They're investigating. That they might sense your love for them this morning. That you so badly want a personal relationship with them. I pray that they would have the courage to continue that journey. That spiritual prickle. Pilgrimage that turns around and just says, I know where this is headed. I like it already. But you don't have all the answers. It's okay. Lord, we pause today to say thank you. I thank you for those who have left great legacies in our town. I thank you for those men and women about to travel out of town to make another legacy. That's life-changing. You don't want us to waste our life. We're grateful for that. We hang on to these principles of obedience and fruitfulness. And as this series comes to a close, fully alive, may it be cast into the wind and find root into the hearts of those that fully understand this language, because the scripture is coming alive. The Holy Spirit has been activated and their lives will never be the same as a result. In Jesus' name, amen.